everyone. My name is Jinjos, and welcome to my Pokemon anime review series. Last episode, the trio came across a Charmander who was waiting for his trainer to return. While at first they leave him alone, they run into this trainer who clearly abandoned his Charmander. They go back to rescue him, and eventually Charmander decides to join Ash and his friends on their journey. Today we are going to be talking about Season 1, Episode 12, Here Comes the Squirtle Squad, the final episode in the trilogy where Ash encounters each of the starter Pokemon for the Kanto region. Before diving into the episode, though, our Who's That Pokemon of this episode is Squirtle, a small Pokemon that resembles a light blue turtle. It can withdraw inside its shell for protection and when it goes to sleep. Its shape also allows it to swim at high speeds as it reduces water resistance. As with the other starter Pokemon, Squirtle can be difficult to find in the wild, but when it is, it's found near small ponds and lakes. Its Pokemon Stadium Pokedex entry reads, "It takes time for the shell to form and harden after hatching. It sprays foam powerfully from its mouth." Moving into the episode, we start out with the trio walking towards a new town with Ash singing the very opening tune that is playing. His confidence is up in the stratosphere after catching not one, but two of the Kanto starters. But many challenges are ahead, and one of them being a literal pitfall, marking the third episode in a row where a member of the trio falls into a pit. I also like the little skeleton they added that is right next to the pitfall, possibly an unknown Pokemon. I find it funny that the trio thinks that the pitfall is a prank, as they should know by now that if you fall into a pitfall, it's more than likely Team Rocket. Even Team Rocket made a comment about them making so many pitfalls a few episodes ago. In a rare occurrence, it isn't Team Rocket, but a group of Squirtles wearing sunglasses, and as far as I recall, this is the first time we have seen a Pokemon wearing some type of accessory. The trio climbs out of the pit to face the Squirtles, and Ash is gung-ho to catch one, sending out Pikachu to attack the leader, marked by having more pokey sunglasses than the other ones. One member of his gang takes the blast, and they head out as the siren from Officer Jenny's motorcycle can be heard. She pulls up, and we are introduced to the world of Officer Jenny. All cousins, all named Jenny, and all police officers. According to the photo, there are at least 9 Officer Jennies, and I think they do a decent job of giving them all a little bit of individual personalities. Some are smiling, some are more serious, and another way I learned to distinguish them apart is the symbol that is on their hat. While the ones in the photo are a little hard to distinguish, if you keep an eye out for it, each Officer Jenny will have a different symbol on their hat, like a square or a star, which is what this town's Officer Jenny has on hers. Taking a small detour, I wanted to address this Officer Jenny and Nurse Joy phenomenon, as it leads into what I believe is quite a popular theory among the fandom. The theory states that Ash, at the end of Episode 1, after the Spearow attacked Ash and Pikachu, that either actually went into a long-induced coma or passed away. Before Ash blacked out, though, he spots a Ho-Oh, and it is said that the wishes are granted to those who see him. Ash's dying wish is that he would never stop his Pokemon journey. The rest of the series is based in either Ash's mind or in the next life. This explains why he sees the same police officer and nurse in every town, why he never ages, and why his friends and other people never age as well. It's a little dark for the anime standards, but it's an interesting lens to watch the show through. Coming back to the episode, though, Officer Jenny brings the trio back to the station and gives the rundown on that group of Squirtles who call themselves the Squirtle Squad. All of them were abandoned by their trainers, and they form this gang to play tricks on the town and cause general mayhem. There's a very strong theme of abandonment in the last 3 episodes. Bulbasaur protected a Pokemon village full of abandoned Pokemon, Charmander was abandoned on a rock in the woods, and now this gang of Squirtles are abandoned and left in this town. I think it's important to remember that Pokemon training isn't for everyone, but it feels like it is something that is expected of most kids in this world. It's an exciting adventure. Pokemon are absolutely everywhere, and it is advertised on TV, posters, radio, etc. It's a lot of Pokemon training. With that in mind, it's not shocking that Bulbasaur, Charmander, and Squirtle are often portrayed as abandoned Pokemon, as they are the most prevalent Pokemon among young trainers. They get their starter, their journey wasn't what they expected, they didn't enjoy it, it was too hard, there could be a plethora of reasons. Before they head home, they feel that they should release their Pokemon, and they do so, leaving behind an abandoned Pokemon. It's honestly really disheartening to think about that, as my unrealistic dream job would to be a Pokemon trainer, and it's obviously bothering Ash before we transition to the next scene. Team Rocket is spotted at the top of the hill looking down at the police station. While Jesse is focusing on world domination and capturing Pikachu, all James and Meowth can talk about is food. Jesse loses her temper just for a moment, but then her stomach growls and she quickly whips out a full prepared picnic basket. Drowned out by the exciting shouts of Meowth, the Squirtle Squad moves in and ties Team Rocket up in a tree while they munch on their picnic, and I gotta agree with Meowth, cruel and unusual punishment. Jesse gets the idea to negotiate with them, wanting to hire them to capture Pikachu. Meowth steps in and starts to talk with them, stating that Jesse and James are his pets, and that he will take care of them. They let him down, and Meowth sits down and munches on lunch, stating that it's going to take some time for them to trust him. We return to the trio, who are taking a break near a lake, and Misty is doing a little fishing. She ends up pulling up one of the Squirtles. After a brief fight, Pikachu then also runs into a Goldeen, who attacks Pikachu and injuring him critically. In the confusion, the trio is tied up and captured by the Squirtle Squad, and Meowth then takes them to a nearby cave. Pikachu is in pretty bad shape, and after some negotiating, Ash is allowed to go into town to get a super potion for Pikachu. Though if he doesn't get back in time, Misty's hair will be dyed purple, a threat that was severely downplayed from the Japanese version, where they threatened to execute her. Ash runs into a couple pitfalls on the way into town, but eventually makes it. As he's walking into the shop, we get a brief cameo of Gary, who walks out of the shop, slamming the door into Ash and knocking him out, apparently, until the next morning. Nobody helped the knocked out kid? Even the people who owned the store when they closed up for the night? The next morning, though, Jesse and James bust into the store with a gun and a bazooka, which, while it seems a little overkill, it is a very persuasive weapon. They end up stealing all the flash powder in the shop, but also a large roll of dental floss, which is simply for their teeth. Remember to floss, everyone. The health of your teeth are important. Jesse ends up firing the bazooka, which is full of petals, but it was translated to snow in the US version. Ash heads in, grabs the super potion, and Officer Jenny ends up escorting him. With the bridge being taken out, Ash ends up going through a tunnel that should bring him out on the other end. Ash utilizes his Charmander as a torch, and he gets through the cave. Ash shows up to find Misty, Brock, and Pikachu gone, and we get a brief moment of Misty being thrown into a dark hole, which follows up with the Squirtle's threat to execute Misty in the Japanese version. They turn out to be fine, and they are working on Pikachu with a super potion. Jesse and James show up and begin to throw bombs out of their hot air balloon, and Meowth somehow captures Pikachu off screen and hops aboard. As the trio head to the cave for cover, the leader of the Squirtle Squad falls on its back and can't get back up. Ash heads back to save him, and with tears streaming down the Squirtle's eyes, he returns the favor by saving Ash. Squirtle eventually blasts the balloon with his water gun, and Team Rocket blasts off. A fire has started in the forest from the bombs, and Ash instructs the Squirtles to put out the fire with their water gun. Once they get back to the town, the Squirtle Squad is appointed to the town firefighters, though did they get paid for that? Housing, I guess? As the trio heads off, Squirtle follows them, running into Ash's and becoming the third and final starter to join Ash's team. Our trilogy of episodes has come to a close, and overall, it's a great three-part series that had some serious themes of abandonment, but also hyped up every kid who watched this to play the games and find some way to get all three starters in their game. Thank you, Nintendo, for the trade link cable. With that said, thank you so much for joining me for this episode. Join me for next time, where we will be going over Season 1, Episode 13, Mystery at the Lighthouse, where the trio will meet Bill, and also a mysterious Pokemon will appear. Hope to see you then. And I hope you have a wonderful day.